to the Fangamer Podcast. This is episode 150. Wow, 150 episodes. Well, we got
This is the one.
This is the big one. We got a nice episode for you guys today. This episode is entirely about Rockage. Now, Rockage is a music and games festival, much smaller than something like MAGFest, and it takes place on the West Coast in San Jose, California, which is also my hometown. And Ben, you were in that area too.
I was. Not too long ago. Good old time.
Rockage usually takes place in February, and it's a nice little festival where they have a lot of bands playing, and they have a whole bunch of arcade cabinets. And the guy who organizes this whole thing, his name is Eric Finale, and he does a lot of local shows in San Jose and the Bay Area in general. He organizes this whole thing, and he does a really good job. I did an interview with Eric, as well as my brother Robbie, not too long ago, where he came over to Robbie's house, and they talked about pizza and Rockage. Let's check that out.
Hi, my name is Eric Finale, and I'm a concert promoter in the San Jose area. When I was 16 years old, I smashed up a bunch of mailboxes and had to do community service. And I did my community service at the Saratoga Library. I met a bunch of punk rockers there, and they told me that once I get off house arrest to go to some of their shows. I went to a bunch of punk rock shows after I was off probation, and that's when I first found my love for local music and rock and roll. I wrote a screenplay about my mailbox smashing spree, and one of the scenes in that movie had to do with a concert, and I had to make a concert to film this movie. Yeah. The show happened when I was 16. It's the Saratoga Community Center, and I totally forgot about the movie. I didn't film it. I just had so much fun at the show, and the bands encouraged me to continue to do it, and that's what sort of got me into putting on concerts.
What is Rockage?
Rockage is a Final Fantasy XI link shell that we created back in 2006. I was obsessed with the Final Fantasy XI Online MMORPG, and Rockage was the name of our link shell that me and a couple friends started, and that's all I did for a while. But yeah, no, that's where the name came from. I'm a big fan of the Descendants. They're a punk band, for those of you guys who don't know. That they always put AGE at the end of a lot of stuff. That was like kind of their little lingo. After I stopped playing Final Fantasy, it's been my dream to like have music and video games collide. Mm-hmm. And my friends would go to MAGFest a lot, and I was like, oh, that's for nerds, you know? I'd never go to MAGFest. And so I went to MAGFest, and I already had Rockage planned before I went to that, but it's sort of the model.
Okay.
I just want to have video games and music in the same room. Gamers have to listen to music, and people that like music have to play games.
Yeah,
They don't have to, but it's subject to it.
It's strongly encouraged, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm interested, what is the thing that would separate Rockage from MAGFest, or is it really just kind of the West Coast version, you think?
MAGFest, they pretty much exclusively, up to this point, have booked bands that are about video games. But Rockage, in its inception, was anything that I wanted to book, but it's mainly, like, nerdy-oriented, you know?
Gotcha.
Like, rock with a nerd appeal kind of thing. And video game music, of course, too. It took 4 years to find the right place and get the right bands and get all the money.
Wow.
So it was 4 years in the making. And then right after it was over, people thought I was crazy. I took 3 days off. And then started the next one, like already put up the flyer for next year. So I promoted Rockage 2.0 for 11 months, and we doubled attendance. And this is the same kind of model as MAGFest, where there's no sponsors, there's no outside money, it's just all out of my pocket, and you just gotta help yourself.
Right, that's the impression I got, was just seeing a bunch of people volunteering because they were just passionate about making this thing happen, and that's what's really cool. What cracks me up, too, is that this is in San Jose. This is, like, pretty cool.
San Jose is the 10th biggest city in America, but and you think it'd have a lot of, like, Silicon Valley roots, and I mean, it does, but there aren't a lot of things like this here, so this is one of the reasons I wanted to do Rockage here, because that's something that this area, I feel like, needs.
Was it at the same location?
Same venue, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Same setup, too. We just tweaked it a little bit.
Gotcha.
And it was broadcasting on Twitch TV.
Right, I didn't even notice that until the second day. I saw guys out in the balcony with cameras.
So I was curious, did that happened the first year, or was that exclusive to this Rockage 2.0?
This is brand new. Some of the guys that do broadcast on Twitch TV, they were there interviewing people the first year, but that's all they did. So this is, they streamed the whole thing live, or at least Saturday and Sunday. And we had, I don't know how the heck that many people watched it, but we had 200,000 people watch it. I really like what Blake did, and Jared, those guys are great. So they did a really good job. So I hope they keep doing it.
Is there any kind of chiptune scene that's going on in San Jose outside of Rockage?
Of course. SF8-Bit, which is run by Morgan Tucker, who is Crash Faster. He runs a lot of the stuff that goes on in the Bay Area scene. And once I met him, it was a match made in heaven, I feel like. He is a little bit different than me, but we both have similar passions. And the two of us together have been putting on shows in Santa Cruz, San Jose, San Francisco. We even did one in Petaluma and Sacramento. So like a little bit here and there. We're trying to branch out.
Yeah.
But it's been great. And he has connections up and down the coast. He has these like long coattails that I can grab onto. He has this really long cape, you know? You'd actually look really good in a cape. Morgan, if you're listening, I hope you wear more capes.
Good.
Just a cape. I wanted to add one thing about how you said you found out about Rockage through the Metro, which is great. But it just proves how San Jose is so segmented, where like you are into video game music and Earthbound and all sorts of great stuff, but you didn't know about what I was doing and I didn't know about what you were doing. There's so many people out there still that like the day before Rockage I was passing out flyers and they're still like, what? I haven't heard about this.
Right.
It's like, how come you haven't? But it's just such a big place. It's so spread out.
Yeah, it's true.
And it's just gonna take years to get everyone like on the same page for it. So.
But I'm glad it's like it's on the growth. Like it's on the up.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of time for more people to come check it out.
Was it easier this year for 2.0 to get more bands involved because more people are aware of it?
I could talk for a long time about how I met the mini bosses. I met them at MAGFest, but I had harassed them for 8 years via email. And so when I finally told them who I was, they're like, "Oh, Finale, yeah, we know you." And then ever since, they've been great people to me. But before that point, they're just like, we're gonna need big bucks to come out there. Sorry, San Jose, forget it.
Yeah.
No, but ever since they've been the sweetest guys. So that's sort of like how you have to win people over because they don't know who you are. They think you're just, you know, someone doing a podcast.
Exactly.
I'm
just
kidding. That was fun.
So when I was talking to Ben about doing this podcast about Rockage, he was telling me how he had dinner with you and you guys got to talk a lot.
He had dinner with my dad and myself after Rockage. My dad helped stuff 10 TVs into his tiny car.
Wow.
So we were like, should we take these to Goodwill? No, we're doing Rockage 3.0. We got to keep these TVs. So they go in the car they went and in the shed they ended up at. So thanks, Dad. And
what he really liked about Rockage was how it includes all types of musicians and it's not exclusive to any one type of genre or a type of band. It's pretty all-encompassing. So tell me about the variety that people will see at Rockage.
Oh, I love all sorts of music, and I think I'd get sick if I sat through, no offense to my favorite chip artists out there, but like one dude with a Game Boy, you know, like after one dude with a Game Boy for like hours and hours, we need to mix it up. So definitely have us like a bunch of geek rockers up there, even some folk stuff, some Make a Scene San Jose is an organization that helped get the Friday night lineup, which was like a lot of indie bands from San Jose, which I think exposed Rockage to a lot of people that had no idea it was happening, like Curious Quail and Cartoon Barfight and San Francesca and Good Hustle. These are bands that are always like among the top kind of like indie local bands, but they have an interest in video games too, as people they do.
Right.
But their music doesn't reflect that necessarily. But Hello the Future, who was our keynote speaker, Nicole. She's great. She went up there and talked about the importance of video games for like a half hour. She was the keynote. But she does geek folk stuff, and she's down in LA right now.
Oh, cool.
Irizen, they're from Texas.
I was going to ask you, where did you pick those guys?
They're on tour with Megaran, and we love Megaran, so had to get those guys. And they weren't supposed to be on Rockage, and then they're just going to hang out. And I said, are you crazy? These guys have to play.
Yeah.
And they basically they fought a giant slime monster on stage.
Yeah, among other things.
with a cardboard robot, giant robot, right?
Right, exactly. There's this huge robot. Yeah.
Can people expect to see things like that at Rockage pretty much every year?
I don't know. We'll keep trying. You know, I would definitely. I'd hope so too. Yeah, I'd love to find crazy stuff like that. Yeah.
So tell me about the games that you guys have at Rockage? Because you guys have a pretty full arcade, as far as I understand.
So California Extreme is this amazing expo, and it's been going on for, I think, 15 or 16 years, and that's in July. And that's something I went to probably, like, 7 times and really got me into, like, old-school video games in this area. Like, I saw that there was a chance for people to really appreciate that around here. Like, that kind of helped me realize that Rockage was possible.
Mm-hmm.
And they're a bunch of collectors that just bring their cabs and pins, and they all they just put 400 or 500 of those machines
it's
in
like
one big
car show for video games.
Exactly,
yeah.
And you can play like prototypes and stuff that never got released, and rare ones, the sit down vector Star Wars one that you don't want to get out of, you just want to stay in there, you know, like stuff like that you don't get to find like at your local pizza place, you know. So those guys who do California Extreme, I asked them if I could do music at their event, and so we do a Rockage showcase there every year, which they're very nice of us, let us do that. And they come and they donate some of their cabs for Rockage, so it's a trade. I think it's July 13th and 14th this year. If you're in town, you should totally go. And it's one of those, it's the greatest arcade built for like a weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
I was going to ask, do you play any music?
I just got a text that says, hey, you still got those TVs from Rockage?
What, is someone looking?
Yeah, someone looking for TVs. Like, come on, dude. No.
Man.
That's pretty awesome. But no, I don't sing. I'm not in a band. It's better that way. I like rocking out at shows. Mm-hmm. And
you definitely do. You're out in the crowd. I don't know how you have time to enjoy the bands with all these events.
I hide from people that are looking to tap me. They're like, oh, hey, the pinball machine isn't working.
Oh, right.
Leave me alone. Can't you see the mini bosses are handcuffed on stage playing?
Yeah.
Can't you see?
I didn't even know that was happening.
Yeah, that happened.
What happened this year on stage?
Mini bosses were handcuffed on stage and performed most of their set handcuffed. That was outrageous.
Wow. Like together? They were.
Yeah, Robin and Aaron were handcuffed together.
Okay.
And they still continue to play bass and guitar.
Wow.
And they even swapped guitars at one point, like they usually do.
Cool.
Bit Brigade were awesome. Noah McCarthy is their gamer, and he beat Mega Man without dying. Mega Man 2 in 46 minutes or something.
Yeah.
And then he was doing high fives and he stage dove.
Exactly. I look over and he's like out.
I think Aaron from Mini Bosses actually grabbed him into the crowd. But they were great. There's some other awesome acts. Matthew Joseph Payne, who's like a personal favorite of mine.
Yeah.
He was the drummer for Glowing Stars for many years. And actually for only like 2 years, they were only around. But he played with a string section and saxophones. And
he had a really interesting ensemble.
A flautist.
Yeah. No. And he had arranged an entire 8-bit sort of soundscape for the flautist to play, to solo over and play with, basically. That was really interesting.
Yeah, he's kind of like a music genius. So,
And he's up in here in Oakland, right?
Oakland, yeah.
Yeah, I talked to him. That's
good.
He's a cool guy.
Some of the other stuff that happened, we had a donut eating contest from Psycho Donuts on stage. That was disgusting.
It was really.
Not that their donuts aren't great, but it's just like disgusting to see, because it was a Texas-sized donut. So
those kids were really into it though. That was the best.
We did a kids one and an adult one as well.
Right.
We had the Silicon Valley Roller Girls on stage.
How did you get them involved in?
They
Rockage?
Love video games. Come on.
That's all it is. That's the glue that gets everyone together.
They came to play games. They played Panic Park against each other. They're like practicing for their bout.
That should have been a whole segment. Everyone watched these, you know, like this Roller Girl tournament.
They were just into it. They were like, because they, you know, they use their hips and shoulders for roller derby. If you don't know, roller derby is hardcore. Mm-hmm. Like I give them a lot of credit. Like I play roller hockey, but they do it the best with quads.
Man.
So they were that Rockage like just. Going at it, yeah. So they have their schedule started. Their first home bout was the week after Rockage. So they came to hang out and tell people about that. I don't know. It was kind of like a little bit of a circus, I guess. You know, different people from all walks of life coming to rock out.
That's perfect. That's what makes it. That's what makes it great.
To me, what I look for in a concert is just an unforgettable experience, and I think you guys handled that really well.
Aside from just the growth in attendance, like what are some differences you saw with the last two Rockages you did?
It's nice to have the attendance double without losing the vibe. The vibe is just like casual, real fun, and like a social gaming experience.
Yeah.
And ever since we did the first one, I went out and started collecting more and more retro systems. This is the consoles, not just the cabs. I bought like all the ones I wish I could play, like at one of those situations.
Mm-hmm.
The attendance grew and people didn't lose the sense of like it's a party. I didn't want it to get too big where it's like, oh, I didn't get to hang out with my friends. I just was too busy with this and this. It's like, no, you get to see everybody and still not too giant.
Cool. Of the 11 months, what are you doing? You're like,
I went to a lot of conventions and festivals and passed out Rockage flyers.
Mm-hmm.
I also went into like every game shop in the Bay Area and tried to like explain what it was to them and why they should just come hang out.
Yeah.
You know, people that like video games and work at those places.
Right.
I went to PAX and PAX East and the LA Frequency 2.0 down there. I went to that.
Aside from Rockage, what other sort of events and things do you make happen, or what other stuff do you have your hand in the video game and music community?
Well, for music, I put on 8 or 9 shows a month in the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
Every Wednesday I do a show at the Blank Club that it's free. Mm-hmm. It's just like local bands in San Jose. And then I do shows at the Crate Place in Santa Cruz sometimes Bottom of the Hill, sometimes wherever, anywhere else in the Bay Area.
Now let's get down to brass tacks. What are some good pizza places in the area here? Just for all the national viewers at home, when you come to San Jose, where would you find some good pizza?
So I'm from Connecticut originally, so I like East Coast style, and I like Chicago style. So I haven't really found a good East Coast style out here. Pizza My Heart is like, they sort of say, it's like, it's surfer pizza, right? Uh-huh. But it's not a big fan, I do like, as far as Chicago style goes, I like Patchy's. You were trying to take me to Via Mia Pizza
there. Well, I don't know.
You're like, hey, I'll give you some pizza. I don't want your pizza. You can keep your pizza.
I just need to give you some fuel so you can just like run at the mouth. I was thinking of Costco pizza.
Costco. What do like, people think about Costco pizza out there?
$10 for like, give us know how much you can actually, it's probably like 2 pounds or 3 pounds of pizza. It's not...
Robbie judges pizza based on the pound.
Well, Eric was saying, more calories for the buck.
For the buck, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Is there anything else you want to go over, Eric?
I mean, like, we talked about Rockage more than we talked about longer than Rockage was. You know, like, Rockage is 3 days, and we've gone 4 days on Rockage right now. we've definitely talked plenty about that. It's rockagesj.com for anyone who wants to know. It's just a little tiny independent thing that we put together. It's a DIY, do-it-yourself kind of event, and it's been a lot of fun. So
yeah, it's way cool.
I just picked up an Intellivision yesterday.
Really?
Nice. In Vallejo.
Wow.
I went and got it.
I had one here just about a week ago.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I went and bought one for Rockage.
I just chucked it in the dumpster back there.
I went and got an Intellivision for Rockage next year just to have. You know, I've been trying to collect all the old systems. So
Yeah,
so we've been grabbing some of those. At Rockage SJ on Twitter. And that's just once a year. But since you asked, we're trying to do one in October in San Francisco.
Cool.
We're trying to do another one. So twice a year, we're trying to expand. I don't want to stop doing the San Jose one, but I'd like to do a San Francisco-ish type one.
Uh-huh.
And we'll try to do our PAX showcase again, too, in August. So there you go.
Gotcha.
So you got a couple of Rockage-type things happening.
Good stuff.
And hopefully we can send you some Fan Gamer prizes that won't cost too much.
Yeah, well, I told you that e-mug is great. The Mega Man e-mug. Yeah, that'd be great, yeah.
You can wake up every morning and have your smart water in an e-mug.
I would totally do that, yeah. No. But, yes, shout out to Ben, Space Boyfriend, who's going to be editing this, right?
Yep.
He's going to be editing this, and I believe he's going to be doing a segment with some of the bands that performed at Rockage.
Oh, cool, yeah.
Well, Eric, I want to thank you for making time for this. This was a lot of fun to sit down with you and Robbie.
Just between pizzas, that's all it was, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
No problem.
Between Taco Bravo.
I can talk about food anytime you want to talk about food.
Okay, the next episode we'll do a food episode.
Yeah, well, actually, Robbie and I want to start doing our own podcast, and so maybe we'll just do a whole food episode with you.
And thanks for having me again in your place. Here
sure, yeah.
So are you guys twins? Is that it?
Practically.
You're just twins. Is that what I'm looking at?
A lot of people say we're twins. Yeah, Jeff's wearing the same clothes as me right now.
Exactly the same clothes, which is weird. It's really creeping me out. And you said you gave him those clothes.
I gave him my clothes.
So you have, when you shave, do you tell him you're shaving? Like, does he get a shaving
memo?
In fact,
we Skype while we're shaving.
Okay, that's really
good. Yeah, it's a pretty intimate experience.
Right, that's
We help each other, like, say, okay, left cheek needs
under
a little
the
more.
Nose, yeah. Right there. Great. Well, thanks for having me, and keep on rocking, guys.
Yeah, you too. Thank you so much for being here, Eric. And you are you're the man for making all this stuff happen.
We're honored to know you. It's great to see this thing happening.
Yeah, thanks. It's been a lot of fun meeting new bands, too. You guys going to play next year or what?
Oh, we would love to. We would love to.
I believe that's a big hell yeah.
Big hell yeah.
All right.
So thank you, Eric, for making time to be on our show.
Absolutely.
Really appreciate having you there. Ben, you were at Rockage. What led you there?
What led me there was, my best friend Pedro Silva's in the band Slime Girls, and he was playing there. And I don't know, like, I went up to visit him and hang out for a while, and it just so happened to, like, correspond with Rockage happening. And so we decided to just make it this thing where... Like, we went to Rockage together, and I actually was able to play one of my own Space Boyfriend songs with him on stage, Watermelon Party. And, I don't know, it just lined up, and it was super cool.
I think I heard that in the segment that you made, though. We're going to hear it later. Mm-hmm. Well, what was it like performing there? I mean, obviously you didn't expect it, but how did that come together?
I mean, it was really just, Pedro told Eric that I was going to be running on stage for a certain part of his set, and it just sort of happened. It was super, super lenient, super easy, and a lot of fun. And Pedro, like, burst out into the stage and started, like, a skanking pit, and it was beautiful and amazing. But, like, there were many instances where I found myself on stage that Rockage, one of which I feel sort of weird admitting because no one knew I was on stage. There's this band, as we talk about a little bit later in my segment, called Narboots. They're just like this really weird, like fun, like sort of party music aimed for kids, but for adults.
Yeah.
They're very, very strange.
Yeah. I got to see them.
Yeah?
I got to see them once. I went to a Mini Bosses show in the Bay Area last year, and... They performed there, and it was pretty dang wild. They wrapped up the night with I Get Knocked Down by Chumbawamba. It was
great.
Really wild, and Eric was jumping into the audience. It was really funny.
That's amazing. But they played a song called Cats in Pajamas, and like the lead-up to this was them telling like a bunch of people, like they got me, Pedro, and a bunch of other dudes from different bands to be like, okay, wear this cat mask and put on these pajamas. You're going to go on stage and like you're going to start just sitting on the ground and just like acting like a cat. And then suddenly you're just going to get up and start dancing when it's appropriate. And so we do, and we get on stage and they start playing this song, and like it's really like slow and cute and like weirdly cute and very creepy, considering that like there are a bunch of grown men on stage wearing like pajamas with cat masks just like slowly moving around to this creepy music. And that never ended. The dancing part never came. It was like 3-4 minutes of uncomfortable people in the audience wondering what was going on, and then uncomfortable us just on stage as cats. And I would like to think that Narboots just gloriously punked us.
I think they did.
Especially considering some of their later songs that were not quite as creepy and a lot more fun.
Yeah. So what did you think of Rockage? This is your first time going. Is it something you do again?
Absolutely. Like, it was a super inspirational thing for me as a musician, like a non-performing musician there. But just, it was also just a really fun time to attend as well. Like, going in... And so, like, we walked into, a very strange moment where, like, this dude was playing, like, an 8-stringed bass, like, with, like a cornucopia of bass pedals in front of him. And it just was a very strange first impression. But we started playing games, and, like, more people started playing on stage. We got a little loked up with the Four Locos. And it was just a very... It was a party atmosphere, I feel like.
I keep hearing people mention that.
Yeah, and I feel like that's the best way to describe it. Like, everyone's in this one room. There are many different things going on, but you're never too far from anything. And I feel like that's something really cool about Rockage that I hope isn't lost as more people go in the coming years, hopefully.
Did you get a chance to play the games that are there?
I did. Like, there are a bunch of old, like, classic arcade cabinets. They had a few console games as well. But most notably, they had this game called Panic Park, which is a Japanese arcade game where, like, there are two, like, handles that, like, rotate around this this axis, and like one player grabs one and is red, another grabs one and is blue, and like it's just a bunch of mini games, like competitive mini games, where you have to like manipulate those handles on that axis by like pushing into each other. So it's essentially like two people just like pushing against each other for the whole game, like trying to like run as these little people across platforms or like kill the other person. It's just a crazy game. It's something truly unique and definitely something that belongs at Rockage, I feel. It was very awesome.
When it came to the games, were most of the games like a social type of... Did they lend themselves to the social atmosphere and keeping people playing together? Or were there... I guess what kind of games were there besides that?
There were the games of all kinds. I felt like the games that were like most important were games like Panic Park or like Hydro Thunder or whatever.
Yeah.
But there were also a bunch of like, I mean, lower key things. They also had like a PlayStation playing Bust a Move with only one controller, which is the most inexplicable thing I've ever heard of, because I would have been on that Bust a Move like all weekend playing with people if it was an option. Mm-hmm. Another notable thing in the games department was that like the Indie Games Club at San Jose State, they brought a bunch of cabinets full of like indie games that they made. Hmm. And some of these games were just wild. Like my favorite, which I feel is the most communicative and social of all the games at Rockage, is this game where you, it's like competitive kissing. So you are like this crudely drawn face on one end and then another crudely drawn face on the other. And you control the tongue of your player. And you can retract the tongue and extend the tongue and like move it up and down. And it's sort of like actual jousting, but with making out. And you have to like push the other player off the screen with like your momentum and like bouncing off the other player properly with proper tongue technique. And that's an amazing game that will stick with me forever. It actually reminds me a lot like the art style of EnviroBear 2000, if anyone's played that game.
Is that the one where you tell me you ride around as a bear in a car or something?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Similar quality of game.
I'm just waiting for the game where you make out with a bear. You do competitive make out with bears.
Well, there is a bear in that game.
There is?
Yes. So, yes, you can make out with a bear in that game. All your dreams are coming true.
I'm totally sold. Well, back to the music. What were some of the groups that you saw there that really stuck with you besides the ones you were there with?
Yeah, of course, I was there with Slime Girls. And aside from that, Crash Faster is an act out of San Francisco, or just that upper Bay Area, I guess. And they are a chiptune act, sort of, by like the most strict sense, in that they have like Game Boys and other chimp instruments in them, but they're mostly like a synth rock, synth pop sort of band. Or like the lead vocalist, Morgan, uses like vocoders and a bunch of like software synthesizers. And they also have Keiko, their backup vocalist and lead on some songs too. They have a drummer and a guitarist, and they are awesome. Like, they're just a really good time if anyone's ever seen them, and they'll actually be kicking the show off this podcast. So they were, of course, always good and will forever be good. And then aside from that, there's punk band Shinobu, which I'm not sure where they're from. I think they're local to the Bay Area as well. And they're just straight up classic punk, really. And they're just a really fun time. There's, of course, Narboots, as we mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Urisen, as Eric was talking about, fighting the slime monster
on
stage.
Yes, I regret not going to Rockage in the first place. But after I heard that, oh, man, I really wish I could have been there.
They were fantastic. Like, just that whole live atmosphere that, like, I suppose like people borrow it from the Aquabats, where like they act as like this superhero group playing songs on stage, and sometimes and like villains pop up and they have to thwart them. And I just love that atmosphere. Like, I know P-Lander Z does stuff like that too, but
so yeah. As that was happening, again, this is like a party atmosphere. Mm-hmm. When the big, you know, slime monster or the robot comes out on stage, does the whole room just kind of turn towards the stage suddenly?
That is exactly what happened. When that happened, yeah, like a
describe
bunch of people
how the environment changed.
Like, well, it was actually pretty early during the day, so there weren't too many people there at the time. But I was talking with a bunch of people near the back tables, like near merch booths and stuff. And suddenly, I see Morgan from Crash Faster just perk up and stand up and leave in the middle of a conversation. And so we just like all turn around and see this happening. And suddenly, everyone in the building just migrates toward the stage and like stares in awe as this amazing thing unfolds. Wow. And it was a great time.
I heard that there was a food truck there that served ice cream, and they also had a karaoke machine built in to the food truck. Did you take part in that?
I didn't actually know about that. I know that the guy who ran the tournament, who did a lot of like emceeing during the event, was talking about how everyone was going to outside to sing Bohemian Rhapsody. So I guess that's what he was talking about.
It seemed like something that you'd be really into, food trucks and karaoke.
I'm pretty into this idea, and I'm ashamed I didn't know of it.
Maybe next year you can run a food truck.
Maybe.
That'd be really good.
Space boyfriend food truck.
Space truck.
But yeah, aside from all that, like, we go into it later, but perhaps my favorite thing about Rocketch was just the variety of everything. Like, the variety of the music, the variety of the games, but mostly, like, the variety of people there. Like, something that will stick with me forever and is, like, one of the most hilarious things that's ever happened is I walk into the bathroom with, like, a finished can of watermelon Four Loko, and there's this old guy washing his hands, and, like, he looks over to me and is like, "Oh, so you're drinking four! Where did you get that? That's some good stuff." And like, I just have a very uncomfortable conversation about Four Loko with a very old man wearing a NASA t-shirt.
This sounds like you in like 30 years.
That's gonna be like me in 30 years. Perhaps that was me from the future. Like, actually me who time traveled. Wow. I'm blowing my mind right now.
Yeah, nobody else remembers that guy, I bet.
I bet.
It was just you.
It was just me. But no, later after doing a watermelon party on stage with Slime Girls, I was walking around. This little kid walks up to me and was like, "Hey, were you the watermelon party man?" And like, my heart just exploded. And then like, he started talking about, because during Pedro's set, good dude up in that area as well, Elliot Lash, was doing visuals for Pedro, and he programmed like a very basic game for people to play during Slime Girls' set, where you're just like a car like driving on a track, and like there's like a bunch of cool visualization stuff going on in the background. And that kid was rocking it for most of the performance. And so like, he walks up to me and was like, "You know, on the screen, the car, that was me." And it was just like so proud of himself. And just, I don't know where else I could have, like, something like that could have happened in like the same environment where an old man would talk to me about like really bad alcohol. Like, yeah, just that combination, that juxtaposition, it was magical. And I think that as Rockage continues, like, more and more people will come in. It'll affect more and more people. It'll just become an even bigger party. And it's not even for the people that go there, too. It's for the musicians. And I actually got a chance to talk to two of the musicians, the performing musicians. One, Matthew Joseph Payne of Matthew Joseph Payne and formerly the Glowing Stars, and Pedro Silva of Slime Girls. So let's hear him.
Hey, my name is Matthew Joseph Payne. I'm a guy on the stage with some other people holding some instruments, and I have some Game Boys, and the Game Boys are gonna help us play some songs. We're gonna start simple with just the Game Boy. There's a little song called Fear Plug. It's on my last record, Gargantuan Acoustic Locator.
Eric Finale's Rockage event in San Jose just wrapped on its second year, and already it's showing hope for a very bright future. With over 200,000 viewers via livestream on Twitch TV, Rockage certainly has a road ahead of it. It rests on Finale's resolve to see his vision through, but more so, the cornucopia musicians that Finale wrangles together to create an event that separates itself from any other. We sit down and talk about Rockage and its experience with the musicians.
My name is Matthew Joseph Payne. I used to be the drummer in the Glowing Stars. Mostly I work now as Matthew Joseph Payne. I've been doing a lot of work combining chip music elements with more sort of traditional Western instrumentation, string players, horn players, etc.
Hi, my name is Pedro, and I front the chiptune band Slime Girls. We recently played at Rockage 2.0.
How did you guys get involved with Rockage?
Eric Finale, who runs Rockage, has been was booked the Glowing Stars and has been booking Matthew Joseph Payne for a lot of really awesome gigs. And he put together the first Rockage last year, and I was really lucky to get to be the first performer at it as Matthew Joseph Payne, and one of the last performers as part of the Glowing Stars. Eric has just been doing such a fantastic job putting it together, and it's exciting to be a part of it.
What was your first impression of the event,
at first, it just kind of seemed like a normal show that I would have gone to in the area, just like a normal type of punk rock show, except that there's just arcade cabs. Yeah, it was just sort of a weird, loose environment. Like, there was bands playing, and then there was people playing arcade machines, and it was just kind of like a pretty relaxed area, I would say. It wasn't like the exact same crowd you see like a punk show or indie show around here or something like that. It was different.
It, like, you walk in the door and it's kind of a wonderland of, to anyone that's interested in gaming culture or geek culture. It was just exciting to see all these things in one place, and to see that the event had even gotten off the ground. It was a 3-day event this year, and I made it in on Saturday evening with my family, and man, the crowd was just huge watching live music. And then on top of that, there's all these people playing games, and I don't know, it was really, really gratifying to see that going so well, to see it so popular.
I mean, I mostly went because there was a lot of bands that I wanted to see the first year, and I didn't honestly expect there to be, like, that many arcade cabs, I guess, which is really surprising to me, because I hadn't really been to an event like that before.
What do you think of Rockage as an event and the way it's organized?
First year and then this year too, the variety of the bands that played is really awesome, and it's really cool to be able to play a show with like different types of bands. Like this year you had Shinobu play, which they're a favorite of mine, and they're punk rock basically, but with a kind of a little more indie music sensibilities, I guess you would say. And then you had the Mini Bosses and Bit Brigade, like it's stuff that's firmly rooted in, you know, like video games. And then you had other chiptune bands like Crash Faster and Matthew Joseph Payne. It's just a good group of different type of bands, and I like that a lot.
I try not to be snooty about people paying direct attention to what's going on all the time. I actually really love the sort of split attention setup of the room. I really love that people can get away from the music without actually getting away from the music, like do something like playing a game and while a band is playing if they want, or they can focus directly on it. I think that's kind of one of the things that makes the event unique. Because, I mean, you know, we all will play our favorite games and listen to other music while it's on, and being able to do that with a live band is something kind of fun and unique.
I would say it's also cool being able to play to a big group of people that you might not necessarily be able to play a show for. Because I think around here, you know, if you're a band, most of the type of shows you're going to be playing, it's either going to be like, you know, say like a bar type show, or, you know, if you get an all ages show, chances are it'll be put on by Eric Finale. But, you know, in my experience, like, it's harder to get the crowd that is into, say, video game music cover bands and, like, you know, I don't want to say the nerdy crowd, but that's what I'm talking about, if you know what I mean. Like, it's harder to get those people to go to events, and I think in this case where it's something where there's bands that they'd be more inclined to listen to and arcade cab set up, it's more, you know, like kind of like a con-type atmosphere. I mean, it's not a con, but I think there are certain events like that where it's harder to get people to go out to, but those are the type of events where those people do go to. And I think Rock Age has a little bit of that, so it's cool to be able to play for those people that wouldn't normally go to, say, like a grimy punk rock show.
What would you like to see more of at Rockage?
Last year there was a really cool, that we had a really wide variety of food trucks coming in to serve food. This year that didn't happen, and it has nothing to do with the organization of Rockage. It's the venue handles that. I mean, there was some delicious duck tacos and some delicious ice cream, but that was it. But in terms of the actual event, this year there was a fantastic console gaming setup that was kind of lacking last year, and I'd love to see that grow even more. For me, I think gaming is best when it's social, and I think that the tournament aspect of the event, that was kind of the most exciting part of the video game part of Rockage for me. So I'd love to see that keep growing.
Most people would ask for, like, say, you know, more games, more bands. I mean, all 3 days were pretty packed, but I'm sure, you know, each night could probably go longer, because this year's Rock Age, every night ended at 11. I'm sure if you added just another hour, people would be okay with that, and you could fit plenty more bands in that time.
Many people compare Rockage to much larger events such as MAGFest, but as of now, Rockage is very much smaller in scale, but in a much more intimate state. Do you think Rockage should grow to the size of MAGFest, or is there something to the size that it is now?
I don't think it should get too big. This year's Rockage felt like one giant party. Like, As a band playing there, I was constantly just, you know, going from the main part of the, like, of Rock Age to, like, the backstage area, talking to someone in the back, talking to someone in the front, like, just kind of going wherever I wanted. And I'm sure, you know, people that didn't have access to the backstage room didn't feel that way, but to me, it just seemed like one giant party, and, like, people were just roaming around everywhere, and everyone was having a good time. There were no problems. Like, nothing went wrong. No one got hurt. Nothing bad happened. Like, that would make an event like that go weird. And I think having it be too big, the bigger you get for an event like this, the more, you know, rules you need, and, like, the more careful you have to be. And I think because of that, because it's so small, like, you know, you don't have to worry so much.
I feel I'd rather see it grow in time than grow in size. Mm-hmm. I feel like you go to Rock Edge and there's clearly a lot of people there, but you feel like you could get to know everybody if you stuck around long enough. Mm-hmm. And I really do like that. I feel like gaming is a social activity for me, and I feel like I get to know people better in the setting of Rock Edge.
You know, sometimes you go to a bigger thing like this, and it's harder to find your friends and harder to hang out with people because everyone's so spread out. And with Rock Age, it's a pretty, you know, compared to, again, like events like MAGFest or something like that. I haven't been to MAGFest, but, you know, just judging from, like, the location where it's held at, I'm sure it'd be harder to find people. And with the size that Rock Age is right now, it's really just like a slightly larger venue, like that you have a regular rock show at or something like that. And I think it's a really cool environment for that.
As a chip musician, how does it feel to play in an event full of not only video game cover bands, but also punk bands, and then groups that sing weird songs about ska punk label Asian Man Records?
It's your one-stop shop for ska punk rock. Asian Man Records!
It's always an extreme pleasure to play with Gnarboots. Fun fact, actually, both Slime Girls and another band I'm in called The John Wilder, our very, very first shows were both with Gnarboots. So, yeah, it is incredible, yeah.
Gnarboots, dance party. Gnarboots, dance party.
You know, it's funny. I've spent most of my music career playing shows with non-chip musicians, and I mean playing non-chip music. So it's kind of fun to now take this thing that I've grown very fond of and take it out to the rest of the world. So this is kind of a perfect meeting of all worlds for me, where I can be with sort of both sides. So it's totally natural and just really awesome for me to do that. And there's all these groups that kind of bridge the gap, like Urizen, like inspired by that culture, but not, they don't use like chip music per se in their act. They have some sequence stuff.
It is really cool because I think that's something chip music greatly needs, is to be able to branch out, and, like, you know, chip music bands need to play with other bands, and like that's not fun at all. It doesn't help anybody. So with Rock Age, it brings everyone together to just have fun, and, like, maybe for people can discover bands they might not have thought they would have, like, normally liked or gotten into. Like, if you have us with a band, again, like Shinobu or something like that, like, people that listen to Shinobu might not necessarily ever, like, try and listen to us, Slime Girls, but because we're, like, kind of forced in the same event, they, you know, are kind of forced to listen to us, and that helps me greatly.
On three, you charfed it. 1, 2, 3, he charfed it!
And, you know, it goes for every other band. It's like you're bringing together such a big group of fans of a bunch of bands and you know, video games and stuff like that, and you're kind of forced into being this one big building. And so there's going to be some overlap, which is really cool.
That kind of connection, sort of bridging these sort of stylistic gaps. I think that from a chip musician perspective, we tend to be very insular, and I think that breaking out of that can't be anything but healthy. And I think that events like this really foster that.
Finale aims to make Rock Age a family-oriented event, inclusive of anyone of any kind, to bring people of all sorts of different backgrounds together, to share in a musical and gaming experience that is bound to expand the horizons of anyone who steps foot in the door. Do you feel this is something he accomplished?
The people that went to Rock Age this year, like, were very varied. Like, you know, there was pretty much all age groups, I think. There was, you know, there's a couple little kids. There's a little kid, you know, like, singing along to some cover songs. We played Sir Fox America by Weezer, and he was singing along to that, playing games. That was the best. And then there's, like, an older gentleman, like a Four Loko in his back pocket, just really, really into everything. Literally everything. He was super enthusiastic. It was crazy. But, I mean, yeah, there's pretty much all different types of people there, and that was really cool to see. And I think people came away with something that, like, they hadn't seen before. I think it's hard to not be, like, you know, kind of expanding your horizons when you go in there. Especially, you know, you have a band like Narboots. It's not a band you see every day, like, even if you're in this area. Or, like, you know, you go to Rock Age, average person, and it's like they're gonna find something new.
I think that he's well on his way. I mean, that's the kind of goal that, you know, you don't reach overnight or even in 2 years. But I definitely feel, I mean, I brought my toddler with me on Saturday, and we put some big old hearing protection muffs on him, and he was rocking out watching a Bit Brigade play. So there's a start. You got a toddler coming and enjoying the event.
Yeah, you come into Rock Age, you support local music and you support local art and stuff like that. And in San Jose, there's not a lot of that. There's not a lot of all ages venues to start with. And so something like Rock Age, even though it's once a year, like it's something you can definitely look forward to every year. And I think, you know, the more we talk about it and the more coverage it gets, the better for the area and every band involved and people that just, you know, like having local music and stuff like that. So, you know, in the coming years, it's going to be really interesting to see how Rock Age changes and grows and all that.
But yeah, I think that it's an event that appeals to a wide range of people. And yeah, I think he's on the way to achieving that.
Very nice job, man.
Thanks.
And thank you, Pedro, as well as Matthew Joseph Payne, for hanging out. But you interviewed them at separate times, or was it, were you guys
it
all
was
like
at separate times,
call?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
We don't blow the lid off of it.
All the magic's been lost. Well, we got a little bit of Fangamer news. We've been spending the last week folding shirts.
Good.
Hey, Heidi's here.
Hi, Heidi.
Heidi, would you like to tell us some Fangamer news? That's a big N-O. Well, we have like a lot of wisdom, courage, power that came in. We have the, how many colorways?
Green and black.
We have green and black. So Classic. Those are now in stock. We have the women's sizes and I think
and
all
really
the way
big
up
sizes.
All the way up to, I think, six X. Yeah. And then the Kraken shirts have been restocked.
Excellent.
And is that it? Man, this is some really killer news.
Yeah, this is great news.
We're working on clothes, everybody.
Did you hear the good news?
Clothes and mugs.
Besides that, not a heck of a lot. Next week for the podcast, we're going to be talking about the N64. We're going to do our first console episode. We're going to talk about its release, how it was received, our favorite games for it. And then hopefully we can get some special guests on that. After that episode, the following week, we're going to do our first game club of the year, which is Yoshi's Story for the N64. So start playing. Ben, are you excited for Yoshi's Story?
I'm pretty pumped for it. That game's real, real weird, and I'm excited to talk about how it's real, real weird.
Yeah, actually, could you just give me a quick tidbit? Because I want to play it for myself, of course. I've already beaten it. It was a long time ago, but I want to see it a little bit through your eyes.
Okay, so you're a kid and you play Yoshi's Island, and it's like this huge, sprawling adventure when you're Yoshi. Like, you gotta get baby Mario back to his brother. You gotta get him home. And then you play Yoshi's Story, and it's just like, it's touted as being sort of a sequel to that game, and it has very similar gameplay mechanics. But then it's just the most made-for-babies video game in the universe.
Yeah.
Yet strangely difficult in the weirdest spots. It's just, it's something worth talking about for sure.
Yeah, I'm excited. And especially because it's a short game. It's a pretty short game. It's one of the very few games where you, the whole point is to collect fruit.
It's a pretty simple, job.
Healthy, balanced diet. Anything else you guys want to go over? Closing thoughts for Rockage?
I want to go.
Yeah, anyone should, if you're in the area, go to Rockage. It's a really good time, and it's just going to get better as it becomes like more fully realized, and just go to it, man. Just
yeah, everybody should check it out. As we said earlier, Rockage is an annual event. The next Rockage, which is 3.0, it'll be next year, 2014. I think right now it's scheduled for February 7th to the 9th. Well, we want to thank Eric Finale for being on the show. I also want to thank Pedro, Robbie Benson, Matthew Joseph Payne, and our listeners. And thank you, Ben and Heidi.
Yeah, of course.
For making this happen.
And of course, music. We played music today by Crash Faster, The Glowing Stars, Matthew Joseph Payne, Slime Girls, Gnar Boots, pretty much everyone who went to Rockage, Shinobu. Thanks a lot, all you guys, for just making rockin' music. Keep on doing it.
Also, if you guys would like to check out some video from Rockage, I'm pretty sure you can see the archived broadcast that they did.
Like over 10 hours of footage, so yeah. Knock yourself out.
You can probably check it out at rockagesj.com.
That is right.
That'll give you all the info on that. All right, guys. Well, we'll see you next week, and we'll be talking about N64. Start playing
Nintendo
Yoshi's Story.
64!
Heidi. 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 Goodbye, everybody.